This is BookCareers.com Live, the podcast about careers in book publishing for people who are looking for a job, building a career, or who want to do their current job better. I'm your host, Suzanne Collier, the founder of BookCareers.com, and it's my job to solve career problems relating to the book world. Hello and welcome to episode 121 of BookCareers.com Live. Now, we've been quite proud that for 120 episodes of this podcast, each has had unique content, and this week I'm going to take the unprecedented step of replaying an episode for you in the wake of the Lords Communication and Digital Meeting, where David Shelley and Claire Alexander were present. They were discussing cancel culture in publishing and said that publishing faces a watershed moment on free expression. This episode was one of our very first, episode 4 to be exact, about ethics in publishing and what to do when confronted with a book that you don't really want to work on. I hope you will listen again with us, and I'm happy to answer any questions afterwards to continue the discussion using the Book Careers hashtag. Today, I'm going to discuss the ethics of publishing and what to do when the publisher you're working for starts to cross boundaries. Controversial maybe, but it's a topic I've been asked to address, and it's something that is at the heart of what we all do every single day. And I'm aware of people in similar situations at the moment. As publishers, we make information public, whether it's fiction, non-fiction, educational, a book, a journal, or other publication. This is the ethical situation. You're in a job that you love, and you're working for a lovely, fluffy publisher of books or journals. You don't have to be madly in love with the texts you're working on, although a lot of the time we are. And if we're not, we always develop a strange affection for the publications we do work on. Everything is going really well, and then suddenly a book turns up that breaks a boundary. Not necessarily a legal boundary, but a personal boundary for you. This isn't about disliking the book you're working on. It's about when the contents of the book are so perverse, offensive, or extreme that you find your own personal beliefs and boundaries compromised. What on earth do you do from a career perspective? You love your job. You don't want to burn bridges, although part of you probably wants to burn the book. Yet you feel your professionalism may be questioned. To give it some context, the case study I'm going to use today is a personal one. This is all true, and it happened with a real book that appeared on the publication schedule of the publisher I was working for. Some of you may have heard of David Hamilton, the photographer. He had a large back catalogue, and as well as being known for a Nina Ritchie campaign, he was very well known for taking photographs of women and young girls wearing little clothing. I believe his books were dropped by a major publisher because of the content, and I'm happy to be corrected if this is not true, but it was felt that David Hamilton's photographs were not in keeping with the times. I was working at a small independent company, and the publisher picked up David Hamilton, 25 Years a Photographer, which was a collection of photographs from across his portfolio. I can't remember exactly the content, and there might have been one or two photographs which would raise eyebrows, but overall it was a photographic art book and it sold very well and made the company money. So it would be no surprise that a second book turned up on the publication schedule. However, from the title onwards, it was not a pleasant publication to be associated with. The first people to raise alarm bells were the editor and the publicist, who shared their concerns with me. I was working in a junior sales role at the time. On looking at the page proofs, We all felt deeply concerned about the content and in particular the age of the girls photographed. What all three of us did was we went and spoke to the managing director and made our feelings and concerns known. None of us really wanted to have much to do with the book, yet all of us as employees had a responsibility to do our jobs to the best of our abilities. We didn't give ultimatums, we didn't raise our voices or have tantrums, but we explained what our concerns were. What was agreed was for the managing director to take all calls relating to the book and the contents. The publicist would send out the usual press releases, but would not go all out and chase full-on publicity. I did not have to take any inquiries or calls asking questions about the book or the photographs. These would all be passed to the managing director. Given the track record of the first book, this title, The Age of Innocence, was forecast to sell very well. It had been approved by Dillon's, a large bookselling chain, which was later absorbed into Waterstones, by a head office buyer for their DOPRA scheme. The acronym stood for Dillon's Open Purchase Returns Agreement, or as sales staff would say, Dillon's Opportunity to Pee Reps Around, as it meant that all the books would be scaled out to every branch on a sale or return basis. The book was delayed slightly. I can't remember exactly, but either the film or the finished books took a little bit longer to clear customs than was usual. Then the book was published. At the time, there was an exhibition of original David Hamilton photographs from the book in New York, and a member of the public purchased some original prints from the exhibition, and they were seized by customs when he brought them back into the UK. I know this because the member of the public phoned in and asked us to write a letter to customs confirming that the photographs were widely available in a book published by a UK publisher. Thankfully, because of what we as members of staff had agreed with the managing director, I could pass the call on to him and he dealt with the situation. In the meantime, a member of Dillon's security staff had shown a copy of the book to his friend who worked in Vice for the Metropolitan Police, and the book was under investigation and the story made the national newspapers. Yet through all of this, myself and my colleagues could stand back. We weren't saying, "I told you so," but we stood back and felt safe standing in our own shoes that we had done the right thing for ourselves and at least by bringing it to the attention of the publisher had made the publisher aware of how this book crossed a line. Thankfully, I believe that most publishers would now discuss a book like this at an editorial or acquisitions meeting, and they would hopefully decide not to publish. However, if you are ever in a similar situation, what I suggest you do before you formally raise your concerns is to make a decision whether you want to broach the subject alone or as a collective of colleagues. You either go it alone or you do it as collective. What is not recommended is to broach the subject alone and then round up your colleagues unless you are specifically asked to find out if others feel the same way. This is because by speaking alone and then gathering the troops, it can feel like collusion and mutiny. So make your choice how you will approach it. Before you raise the subject, decide what it is you want and what you'll be prepared to accept or compromise. Have it in your head as to what you'll accept if you know the book is definitely going ahead. When you raise the topic, be clear in your vocabulary about what your concerns are and be prepared for counter-arguments. The usual counter-argument is, we've paid a lot of money for this book, or this book will make us a lot of money. For example, whilst you might want to say, these photographs are obscene, instead you might say, I've got concerns about the age of the children in the photographs and how these photographs might be perceived or used. Do not walk out, do not threaten to resign or hand in your notice. Be the professional person that you are. Explain why you are raising these concerns, and whilst being clear about what your concerns are, always use non-threatening vocabulary and avoid any ultimatums unless you definitely are going to carry them out. It is your right to question the ethics in publishing particular books, because you can be damn sure in this social media age that once published, others outside the company will do it for you. Above all, when faced with a situation like this, be true to yourself. At the end of the day, you have to live with yourself. You have to go home and look in the mirror and like the person that is looking back at you. I think this episode has been contentious enough without adding an interview question of the week, so I'll leave it there for today. I hope I've given you some things to think about, and I'd be happy to open a much wider discussion about the ethics of publishing in relation to your career. Have you ever had to speak up about a book that crossed your ethical boundaries? How did you approach it? And if there is something going on in-house now, remember, you can always talk to me in complete confidence. My email, as always, is suzanne@bookcareers.com. Now it is your opportunity to join in the live discussion. You can find us across social media using the hashtag bookcareers or on Twitter @bookcareers or me personally, Suzanne Collier. Or visit our own platform at bookcareers.com/live. Thank you for listening. May you all be doing a job you love and being paid the salary that you so richly deserve.